There was a couple of twins, and it was really interesting because these twins were like polar opposites from one another. And so you've got one twin, they're a couple of boys, and one of the boys, they're about 10 years old, and one of the boys is just a pessimist. I mean, look, it was really concerning for the family because he just had this negative outlook in life. And so everything that they would go through, whether it was fun and exciting or if it was bad, it didn't matter what was going on, the situation it was, he would look at it and he would see the worst of it in everything. And the other boy was an optimist, and so like is they were just so different from one another, and it didn't matter what they were doing, how miserable of a time it would be, if everybody else was frustrated in the car, and of course brother is definitely frustrated, he's happy, he's got a smile on his face, it didn't matter, he's just along for the ride, and everything's great. And so you know, if one said the TV was too loud, the other was like, nah, that, you know, it's just fine, or it's too loud, you know, and they were just completely different. And so just to see what would happen, the parents on their birthday did something a little different. And so on their birthday, he put the pessimist in one room and the optimist in the other room and just kind of separated the boys. And for the pessimist, the parents went out and bought all the newest, nicest gifts they could think of. Every gaming console, every single thing that a boy could ever want. Nerf guns, bikes, everything. And they loaded this room up and set him in the middle of it. And for the optimist, they put him in another room and they had shoveled horse manure about this deep throughout the whole room and stuck him in the middle of it. And so for the, you know, dad goes by the room to see how his pessimistic boy is doing with all those toys, and he opens it up and he hears, all my friends are going to be jealous. And he just saw him, the son was just crying, oh, my friends are going to be jealous because I have all these nice things, and they're going to break, and half these things need batteries, and oh, this isn't the best kind, and he's just upset about everything. And of course, the dad's just like, oh my, what can I do? So he shuts the door and he walks over and opens up the door to the optimist's boy's room. And before he even opens up the door, he's hearing just noises. And he opens up the door and he sees his boy, and he's got handfuls of horse manure and is throwing them in the air with the big smile on his face and is taking dives down into the manure. And he's just so joyful, and he says, oh, with all this horse manure, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. Joy's pretty infectious, isn't it? Avery and I went to Alabama on the beach for our honeymoon, and there was this zoo that was around there, and so one day we went to the zoo, and we got to do a lot of neat things, and it was a lot of fun. And there were some cool experiences that we had. It was a really interactive zoo, and so we got to interact with a lot of the animals that were there. And so they had, there was even this lemur cage that was there. And these lemurs were just playing around everywhere, and they would crawl all over us. And they had this really cool picture with Avery that has a lemur on her shoulder, you know. And then we got to play with these baby tigers, and it was a cool experience for us. But of all the things that were there, as fun as it all was, one of the most interesting and entertaining things to watch is when you just stand in front of the otters, because they're just so joyful and they're just so fun. And so I could sit there, I could watch those otters because they're just playing for and I can just watch that for so long. And it doesn't matter how upset I am, if you just put me in front of an otter tank for a little while, I get happy, you know. They're just, it's that joy, and joy is infectious, and it really is that way with us too, right? When you hang around somebody that's joyful, it just has a way of rubbing off on you. But it's the opposite is true as well. When you're hanging around those people that you know, aren't joyful and they have a negative outlook, it affects you as well. I call people like that VDPs, very draining people. And so you know people like that. And it's just, it's difficult to be around, and it can suck the joy out of the whole room. And so the reason I'm starting off with this is because we're continuing on our series of the fruits of the Spirit. And so I want you to say our verse with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is peace, patience, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Galatians chapter verses. You did better than last week. We're going to get better. All right, that wasn't very loud. I'm not impressed yet, but I am proud that you're making progress. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about joy. And so look again at 1 Peter chapter 1. Pages are sticking together. One second. Here we go. 1 Peter chapter 1, and I want to start in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who are through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is already that is ready to be revealed to you in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, listen to this, now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I love this passage. It's kind of a difficult passage for me because the subject matter is that because of the gospel, because of the truth of the resurrection of Jesus, because of the salvation of your souls, when you face trials and there's trouble now for a little while, you know that in the end, we win. Right? There was this member at White Sphere Road that would always come up to me every morning, and his first statement now would come up to him and say, you know, "Hey, Manny, how are you?" His name was Manny Canales, and he, at one point, was just covered with cancer. It wasn't looking good for him, and now he's beat cancer and doing well. But Manny would come up to me, and I'd say, "Hey, Manny, how are you this morning?" He'd say, "Well, I'm just blessed. I'm doing great." Every morning. It didn't matter what was going on in his life. Every Sunday was the same. "I'm doing wonderful. You know why? Because I peeked in the back of the book, and we win." And that was his statement every Sunday. And it was really a neat thing, you know. And I loved being able to talk with Manny. And he would say the same thing to everyone that he came in contact with. You would always, every one of us, if Manny was in the room this morning, we'd all have the same conversation with Manny. He would have it with every one of us. "I've peeked in the back of the book and we win." And that was really, really amazing to see the consistency of his faith in that and the genuineness of the smile. It's not just some kind of fake smile or mask that he would put on. It was true, genuine joy. And it brought joy to everyone that would talk with him. And every person looked forward to talking with Manny, even though you knew exactly what you were going to hear. But it was that joy that was amazing. But the beauty of the joy was seen whenever he was able to express that joy in the midst of trials in his life. When you knew that Manny was going through a difficult time and you would come up to him and say, "Hey, Manny, how are you?" And he would still have that smile with all the genuineness in the world and say, "I'm blessed. I've peeked in the back of the book and we win." And what an amazing thing. And that's what 1 Peter is saying. And that is so tough to live out whenever all we can see is the difficulty in our life. That's tough to live out when I'm most depressed because I've lost someone who's close to me, or I've been rejected from other people, or I've been excluded from people I thought were going to love me and take care of me and support me. That's the most difficult whenever life is most difficult. And so... The hard part about this is that Peter is trying to tell us that in this moment, we still must trust Jesus, and through that trust and faith in His resurrection, even in the midst of trials, which he points out are going to be there, we can have not just joy, but an inexpressible and glorious joy. I love that phrase. And so the goal this morning for our lesson is going to be, I've got an impossible task. Because I'm trying to express to you an inexpressible joy. And I started thinking about, how do I do that? I'm actually taking a course right now at Austin Graduate School, of Intro to Theology. And theology is basically the study of God and talking of God. And so how do you talk? Here's the question that we've been dealing with at the beginning of the course. How are we going to do this? How do you study and talk about a God who's as big as God is? Because God is so big that He can't fit into our small language. He's an infinite God and we have a finite language. How do you put an infinite God into a finite language? It's an impossible task. Now, we can talk about truths of God, but we can never fully describe Him. Our minds can never fully understand Him. And that's a comforting thing. That's a wonderful thing. And so that's the goal this morning. There's a joy that you can feel and that you can experience in your life. It's not unobtainable, it's inexpressible. Do you see the difference? And so this is a joy that you can have and that you can experience in the circumstances you're facing today. Now, for me to describe it, which is what I'm going to attempt to do, I'm going to sell it short. But it's obtainable for you, and you'll understand it. And some of you, Manny, he understood that joy. He understands the power of the joy. Manny can't express the joy any more than I can, but he can understand it better than I can. Does that make sense? And so it's obtainable for you as well. So let's get into it. That's the next fruit of the Spirit for us, is joy. Look at Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Each one of my points this morning is going to be tied to a different scripture. So we're going to jump to three different scriptures. Romans chapter 15, starting in verse 13. Says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Spirit. I love this idea that there is true joy when our trust is placed in God. That's the key. That's when you begin to unlock this fruit of the Spirit of joy, is when you place your trust in God. Joy and seeing, sight, go hand in hand. Okay? I believe joy is a fight for sight. That's what it really is. Joy is all about having your perspective right. It's about seeing things clearly. It's about giving proper priority and placement to the situations and things you face in your life. And when you start to get those things out of place and make things bigger than God has made them, or worry more on things that God would rather you worry less about, it's hard to experience that joy. That becomes a barrier to joy. But trust is the key. Sight is the key to unlocking the power of joy. I want to show you something else as well. I wasn't planning to go here, but I do want to show you this real quick. So you can put your finger in Mark, Romans 15. I want you to look at John chapter 15. This is the part in Scripture, the text in Scripture, where we talked about the tree. And it was that image of Jesus saying, I am the vine and you are the branches. And our job as branches is to, what was the word? Abide. That's our job, to remain in Jesus, to abide in Him. That's our only job. And so then I want you to see this. Look at verse 9 of chapter 15. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. So there's, listen how many times he's saying remain still. You remain, 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 because that's our job. Just as I have obeyed the Father's commands and remain in His love, I have told you this so that your joy may be complete. Why is He telling us to abide? Because through abiding in Christ comes joy. It can't be found in other places. That's the problem with our culture. They're so quick to tell you, you would just be happy if, fill in the blank. If you buy this, look at this, have that person in your life, if you just looked a certain way, if you just had that one boyfriend or that girlfriend, or if you found, I can't stand the whole, and not that I don't believe this, Abe, I'm sorry, but you complete me. We say that phrase, you complete me. I found my missing piece. Well, what that signifies is that who you are without that person isn't enough. You're broken, and it's just half a heart until I find that one person. And no, God is enough. Jesus is enough. And so you don't have to go out and try to find that broken piece. I'll tell you where to find him. His name is Jesus, and he gave his life for you through love on the cross. And that's where he's at. Now, Avery, I love you. And I'm not saying that it's not important to have that love from another person, but that's not where your joy is going to come from. Right? True and ultimate joy isn't experienced because of what my wife can do for me or what I do for her. I'll never give the inexpressible... Listen, I'm talking about a different joy than the world uses the word joy for. They're trying to show you that joy and happiness can be found in these things. No, the inexpressible joy that's spoken here. A joy that gives a man like Manny Canales the ability to say in the face of cancer, I'm blessed because I've read the end of the book. That's an inexpressible joy. And it's found when you abide not in anything but Jesus. And that's the only way you'll find it. And so the devil is at work trying to keep you distracted and to keep you from focusing on Jesus and abiding in him. But when you abide, that's where this joy is found. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. When your eyes are distracted and pulled away from the glory and the gospel of Jesus, then the devil has won. That's all he wants to do for you. Because the opposite of worship, it's not necessarily just sin. What was it? Anybody remember? What's the opposite of worship? Distraction. Everybody say that. The opposite of worship is? It's my eyes getting off of Christ and onto other things in life. Worship is focusing on Jesus. That's why worship is more than a song and more than a service and more than you sitting here. Worship is just you putting your eyes on the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ. That's what worship's about. And that's where joy is found. And so if you're looking at yourself and you're saying, I just don't know that I'm experiencing the kind of joy you're talking about, and I want to know what that is, start by looking to Jesus and the glory that comes to the gospel of his death, burial, and resurrection for us. Number two, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22. Told you we're going to jump around a lot. Proverbs chapter 17, starting verse 22. This is a short, I love Proverbs. This is these short, wise, fun statements. I love to just sit and to read some of these, and this is one of my favorites. Proverbs 17, verse 22, a cheerful heart is good what? It's medicine. Realize that. A joyful or a cheerful heart is good medicine. But a crushed spirit dries up the bones. We've heard recently in a sermon not too long ago about some dry bones, didn't we? And here's what you need to know. Joy is a good medicine. It can heal you. And listen, that healing is physical as well as spiritual. I believe it's both. There is scientific proof that has come to show that experiencing joy in your life will actually increase your life expectancy. It can help you to live longer. They've even shown that when you give and receive a hug from someone, that your body releases some kind of hormone or some kind of chemical. I don't know what it is. Something. So I'm not a scientist. But you release something that actually, that hormone allows you to live longer. So hug more. That's the point. If you hug more, you're going to live longer. Joy is a good medicine. But it's also good for your soul, because the opposite is experiencing a life without joy. And that'll dry up your bones. Now, here's the hope. I don't care if you're a person that's been living your whole life and going to church and you just don't feel the joy in your life. Here's hope for you. The valley of dry bones story is still true. And our God is a God who can breathe life into the most dead of situations. Not just bones, but dry bones. God still breathes life. And he can breathe life into you. And you may look at yourself and say, Nathan, there's no way that I can experience the kind of joy you're talking about. Here's who I've been. Here's what I've done. And here's what I've been through. And I don't have to know those things. The statement's still true to you because I know my God, and he's a God that breathes life to dry bones. And so if your spirit's been crushed, and sometimes the joy in your life, you don't experience it and you don't feel it, not because of something of your own doing, but maybe it's because you've been living with someone who was a very draining person who hasn't experienced that joy, and it's robbed you of yours. My encouragement to you is to look again to the Lord. Fix your eyes once again on Him. Abide in Jesus, because joy can literally be a medicine that begins to heal you and transform you into someone new. I want to read something to you. I thought this was really interesting. It's called Frederick's Experiment. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of this, Frederick's Experiment. All right, well, then I'm going to teach you something. Frederick's Experiment. Back in the 13th century, I'm going to read some of this. I'm not going to read it all. Back in the 13th century, the German king, Frederick II, conducted a diabolical experiment intended to discover what language children would naturally grow up to speak if they were never spoken to. And he thought it would be German, you know, because that's obvious. And so King Frederick took babies from their mothers at birth, and he placed them in the care of nurses who were forbidden to speak in their hearing. But a second rule was also imposed as well. The nurses were not allowed to touch the infants. And so they could take care of them and all this stuff, but they weren't allowed to touch them and they weren't allowed to speak to them. Let's just leave them alone and see what happens as babies naturally grow up on their own. And so they provided all the needs for these children. Well, let me read instead of paraphrasing here. But to his great dismay, Frederick's experiment was cut short. But not before something tragically significant regarding human nature was revealed. As you may have guessed, the babies grew up to speak no language because they all pass away. All the babies ended up dying. I know it's a horrible thing to think about, but it reveals something really important about human nature here. In the year 1248, an Italian historian recorded with an air of scientific observation that they could not live without petting. The babies literally died from want of touch. Modern medicine calls this phenomenon failure to thrive. For some reasons, we humans flourish. This is the article. For some reason, we humans flourish under the influence of love and gradually die without it. And then it keeps to going on and saying, you know, wow, this is a mystery. You know, what is it? What? Obviously, humans need love and need to be touched and need to be spoken to. And that mother who grabs them up and expresses that joy, it's important for the survival. Well, yeah, Jesus has told us about that long ago. That's why it's the commands of loving one another and loving God is so important. You know, God's been on to this for a long time, but science is just now catching up, right? It was a really interesting experiment, but the truth is the same. It's because joy is a medicine. And without it, you become dry bones. Your spirit is crushed. And sadly, that's what happened in that situation. Guys, that's exactly what happens to us. Physically, it causes all sorts of health problems for us when we don't experience the joy in our life. But more importantly, spiritually, we become crushed without that smile and the joy that comes through the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ. So let's fix our focus back on Him. And number three, lastly, Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Joe. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve." I love this. "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Listen, here's the point of this entire message. Number one is, look, this joy, this inexpressible joy, I can't stand here to explain it to you. I can just show you how to obtain it. You obtain it through abiding in Jesus. And that's what John was saying in the vine and the branches. And he said, there's a joy that is inexpressible, as Peter says, but it's found when we remain in Christ as He remains in the Lord. We remain in His love. You see, that's the problem with us, is not that His love is short-handed and can't reach us and keep us. It's that we choose not to remain in His love. Sometimes we're the most hard on ourselves. And there's nothing, listen to me, if you haven't gotten anything else, get this, there is nothing that can rob you of your joy more than choosing to pull away from the love of Christ. We are our own worst enemy. And we look at our lives, and we look at our sins, and we look at the things that we do say and are a part of, and we say, I'm not worthy. Well, join the club. Paul said, oh, what a wretched man that I am. He's an apostle. You're not alone. Jesus knew this. That's why He came to the cross in the first place. That's why He came down here and became a man and gave up equality with God and didn't consider it something to be grasped and gave up Himself through obedience to God with death, even death on a cross. That's why He did it. It's because He knew you're not enough. Don't be shocked when you look at yourself and say, I'm not doing what I should. You're always going to be saying that. God wants us to be holy. He wants us to be as holy as He is holy. But He also wants us to remain in His love. And when you look at the... Let me show you one thing and then we'll close. Look at Jude, the book of Jude. Jude chapter... Well, the only chapter. Look at this real quickly. Look at verse 24. To Him, well, I want to show you this. Look at verse 1. Maybe this is what I do. I jump to these things, and sometimes I bite off more than I can chew, and I want to wrap up quickly. But hang with me. Here we go. Look at verse 1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, to those who are loved by God and are kept. Everyone say that word. Kept by Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. And then he goes through his whole message, which is an amazing sermon for another day. And then he gets down to verse 24. To him, back up. Look at verse 17. All right, hang with me. I promise I'm going somewhere. Look at verse 17. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there's going to be these scoffers, and they're going to follow their own ungodly desires. They're going to be these men who divide you and who follow these mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. So the people in this church are being persecuted in a major way. The most hurtful thing is that these people are wolves in sheep's clothing. You need to read this book sometime. And these people have come in and they're sitting at their love feasts and they're eating with them and acting like, and God gets angry with them. He calls them clouds without rain. He says that they're twice dead. I mean, he gets intense with these people and he's frustrated with these people. But the people that this book is written to, they're hurting. And so this is his encouragement to them. Okay, this is his challenge to them in the midst of the trials they're facing. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. And what's our word? Keep. Everyone say it. Keep who? Yourselves in God's love. You see that? You keep yourself in God's love. Now, earlier in verse 1, you see that to those who have been called, who are loved by God, and kept by who? So Jesus keeps us. He protects us. He shields us. He keeps us. He guards us. But our job is also to keep, not Jesus, but to keep who? Ourselves in His love. Keeping happens, it's a two-way keep. Jesus keeps us, and we keep ourselves. Because when both of those things work hand in hand, that's where the gospel is fulfilled. And that's where they'll find the strength and the joy to push forward in the midst of difficult situations. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And that joy is found when we're able to keep ourselves in His love. Joy is robbed when we look at ourselves and say, I'm worthless. And through that, believe that you're meaningless. Yes, we are worthless because of the sin in our life, but we're meaningful because of the resurrection of Jesus and the love He has for us. And that should bring joy in our lives. You know why? because I've read the back of the book, and we win. If you need anything, won't you come while together we stand and sing.